Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life, there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken.
Hello, folks, and thank you once again for coming to Bard's Logic Political Talk, part of the growing conservative conversation, and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network, which you can find the Patriot Journalist Network by going to www.patriotjournalist.com. And you can also reach there through a link on the About the Show page on the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. Now, tonight we have a very special guest on, the founder and chair of freeandequal.org, Christina Tobin. And I do believe we have her on the line, so I will go ahead and open up her mic. This is Christina.
Hey, Christina here. How
Great.
Are you? Thanks for having me on your show.
And thank you very much for coming. How are you?
Well, really great. We just are really, oh gosh, so much momentum in the last couple of weeks with Free and Equal, and I'm just so honored to be on your show. We wouldn't be where we are today without honest media like yourself, Robert.
Well, awesome. I really appreciate that, and we're honored to have you on here as well. So I know you don't have a ton of time for us tonight, but I appreciate every minute that you give us. So I'll go ahead and start out with a few questions. And first, if you could tell us about how you got started with Free and Equal, and what was the impetus for you to begin upon this venture?
I go back over a decade. Back in 98, when I was 18 years old, my father, Jim Tobin, ran for governor in Illinois. And I firsthand saw what the electoral system did to wrongfully keep him off the ballot. You know, over 60,000 signatures he gathered out in Illinois. I learned in Illinois, third parties and independents have to gather five times as many signatures just to get on the ballot for statewide office. So 25,000 signatures versus only 5,000 for the Democrats and Republicans. And even when my dad got over 60,000, because he was a threat to the two-party system, you know, the board, the judicial system, they all work together. They're appointed by Democrats and Republicans alike. They wrongfully knocked him off the ballot. So I really started from there, and then years later got him on the ballot as lieutenant governor in 2002. And then Ralph Nader hired me in Illinois for ballot access in 2004. And 2006 got the Green Party of Illinois on the ballot in Illinois, which was the hardest job ever. And keeps going and going. National, I was a national ballot access coordinator for Ralph Nader in 2008. And getting over 500,000 signatures, you know, coordinating drives with like-minded leaders throughout the United States. And, then Free and Equal came about. 2008, Ralph Nader participated in our first real public ever event for Free and Equal, the beginning, an open debate at the Mayflower Hotel out in Washington, D.C., which aired on C-SPAN 2 Live, the first time any open debate, was ever nationally televised. So, but it's really been a lot of work this last decade, and that's kind of the history of Free and Equal.
Well,
that's
great. All the signatures. I know you also had to fight for a lot of those signatures too. You know, defending over like 100,000 or something like that. You know, because of it. Okay. Well, speaking of some of the things you've done, most of the listeners are familiar with your and Free and Equal's contribution to the third parties gaining a larger voice during the 2012 elections, especially concerning the debates. And what other events and activities did you do during the 2012 election to advance the grassroots cause of more equal elections?
Well, really between 2008 and 2012, I laid down a real solid foundation. I moderated, at least four gubernatorial debates, governor debates, that is, gubernatorial in Illinois alone, as well as a gubernatorial debate in California, a U.S. Senate debate in Connecticut. Free and Equal also hosted the first panel discussion on electoral reform with authors at the Cato Institute, We've held discussions up at UW-Madison from leaders from Cindy Sheehan to Sean Scallon of the American Conservative, Angela Keaton of antiwar.com. In 2009, we held a tea party at the Navy Pier where we had a Green Party candidate speak. It was mostly libertarians and all, but we invited Greens, and even Ralph Nader endorsed it. So I've done a lot of work between 2008 and 2012, you know, since that first debate in 08. And in doing that, I've surrounded myself with like-minded leaders that have helped take Free and Equal to the next level. So, yes, last year was really big. The Larry King debate was a dream come true, and over 20 million people viewed that worldwide, and Al Jazeera aired it live, and RT America, C-SPAN, and really, you know, it was really a turning point. We changed the national dialogue, and finally, at Free and Equal, we like to see it as an open debate. Mainstream media tagged it as a third-party debate because that's what they do best. You know, they try to make something smaller than what it really is. It was truly an open debate, and I feel with our efforts, we're going to be putting the Commission on Presidential Debates out of business come 2016.
Well, there you go. And there's there is a push for that, especially, you know, on how fair they were during this past election. And actually, later on, I have someone in the queue. He's actually a good friend and co-hosted some shows with me. Kelly Mordecai, author, got a webpage, the Hidden Fourth Branch, talks about the federal grand juries, that he does want to touch base on something about that later on, you know, towards the bottom half of the hour. But one thing we put out there that we're going to talk about is some of the future things that you have planned for Free and Equal, especially with the upcoming elections that we should already be planning for in 2014, and you already mentioned 2016. And one of those is the United We Stand Festival. So let's talk a little bit about that and then some other future things you guys are going to be working on.
Sure. I'm really excited about this because one thing I learned from, you know, Ralph Nader, I talked to him every couple weeks and spoke with him a week ago, and he's very supportive of the event. He's considering flying in to speak. So I'm pretty excited about that. And Jesse Ventura just emailed me this morning. He's interested in being a part of it. Alex Jones, news director, said this is a perfect event for Alex. You know, we're bringing together all these amazing people, sending an invite to Ron Paul and, you know, Napolitano and so on. But what's really cool is this United We Stand Festival. It's a fest. It's a music, bringing the music together. And so in any case, what we're doing is uniting leaders across the spectrum. We've got dozens, of really great leaders on the ground in Little Rock, from the founder of, you know, Little Rock Occupy to Young Americans for Liberty leaders to Tea Party to Libertarians, Greens, Independents, lots of individuals. I see everyone as individuals, truly. And what we're doing is we're going to have a music festival. Of course, the band Golden State is confirmed. You may have heard of them. They've done the song Ron Paul Bombs recently.
They were
featured on American Idol. Yeah, they're really great. And Jordan Page just hopped on board. Elizabeth Imus, a comedian, the amazing, she's the daughter of Donald Imus, nationally syndicated radio host, will be an MC. Josh Tolley will be there. Amber Lyon, former CNN reporter, whistleblower. Ben Swan is about to hop on board. He'll be
local
going
guy here.
Yeah, he's so pure. You know, honest media, honest comedians, honest musicians like, you know, James Grunler, the whole team there, Mike Boggio, their manager of Golden State, Jordan Page, hopefully Tatiana Morris. And, of course, we're reaching out to, you know, bands like Smashing Pumpkins and Lupe Fiasco, and we've got an end to Foo Fighters, David Grohl there. So it's just really, really cool.
Wow.
This is the kickoff for breaking the stranglehold of the two-party system and reforming the electoral system. This is the beginning, and this will transition into our fall 10-stop university tour. I'll be hopping on a bus for 3 months or so, going state by state across the United States, and it's going to be a huge, powerful grassroots movement for we the people.
Well, that's definitely what, you know, Bard's Logic, at least, you know, what I tout Bard's Logic is about, is the grassroots We the People show, you know, and, you know, that's something I'm kind of like to, you know, put out there, you know, for the folks for that. But also what some point for the festival I'd like to see would be Aubrey Ashburn. She's one of my favorites. Actually, at the end of pretty much all of my shows, I play a song from her that she's done. And, you know, so it'd be great if you guys could get a hold of her to be a part of that festival if it's not too late to add some folks on. So also, one of the things that's going on tonight, I'll go ahead.
No, thank you. I mean, naturally for this one, it's going to be probably evening. We're looking at all day, but we really want to keep it, you know, between 6, 10 p.m. or whatnot, midnight.
Yeah.
But naturally, the Fall University Tour, you know, 10 stops across the country, there's going to be a lot more variety. We really want to open up not only the bringing in, again, the grassroots movement across the spectrum, left, right, and the like. Again, the two-party system has been dividing us potentially for centuries, and, well, we're too smart for that. We're going to unite, and we're smarter than the system. But it'll open up for not only musicians, but, you know, Hollywood, celebrities, they have a direct impact on, you know, what goes on in politics. So it sounds like individuals that you recommend as we start to branch down into state and local events and free and equal leaders doing local events across the United States, it'll be open for, you know, everyone like that you've mentioned and so on, which is exciting.
Yeah, and speaking of also, you know, grassroots and media is today, as you well know, is the Spread the Liberty News money bomb. What are your thoughts on what their organization is trying to do and increase the influence of the independent medias?
Well, the more the merrier. I mean, naturally, we've got Ben Swan and Amber, well, Ben Swan soon to be on board, Amber Lyon confirmed, Josh Tolley, you know, Mayal Hoffman. Of course, we've reached out to our course. The more honest media we have out there, the more groups that want to get the truth out there, great. We know this. We know. I've learned from the presidential debate. I mean, for example, the Commission on Presidential Debate, wow, talk about a fraud on the American people. What happens is, you know, money from the elite. There's no point of pointing fingers. We can point fingers all day. Let's just fix the problem, and that's what we're here, solutions here, free and equal. But, you know, the Commission on Presidential Debates gets $50, $60 million from, you know, entities that want, you know, want war. Essentially, they profit from it and so on and the other things. But what the commission does in return is they spend that $50, $60 million on mainstream media, who in return, you know, becomes a sponsor for the debate. It's just a, you know, not a good way of going about things. It's a tool that's used by, you know, not good, you know, money to influence the world. And it's gotten us into the situation we are today. So, you know, having honest media and coming out there, and we're here to build others here at Free and Equal. We'll be linking, of course, to your, if we haven't already, we will. Everybody we interview or vice versa with will be listed on our site, you know, within reason. I guess everyone, that's the direction we're going in. But, you know, in any case, you know, we're here to build. I mean, you're building us, and we're here to build you, and sounds like anybody you have to recommend is probably on board, too, so with the movement.
Well, great. Well, yeah, one thing you definitely mentioned was on the presidential debates, and that does actually going to bring them in a little bit later, but it's a good segue into a question Kelly wanted to ask. And so I think since you brought that up, Kelly, are you there?
Well, hey, Christina, I'm so glad you're here. I must give you some Winston Churchill. Hey, yeah, looking forward to the Libertarian Convention here anyway next month. Hey, I got to give you some Winston Churchill compliments. What he said to the British people, you know, they were tired, they were bombed out, some homeless. He said, look, this is not the end. This is not the beginning, but this is the beginning of the end. And I think that fits very well what you are doing. And so there's many, many compliments on this. I want to throw out something to you. And I studied this. This is a chronic problem. It's a monopoly, okay, the debates. You know that. You're on it. I wanted to give you a hint, okay, if you will, a hint of what to hunt for. I know the League of Women Voters was saying, look, we're done with this because this these two candidates have basically have a private agreement and locked it down, and they're committing fraud upon the American people.
That's two parties.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm wondering, okay? They have a new rule. The rule is, it's the most recent rule, you're going to have 15% for five major polls, all right? I mean, I haven't donated to any polls lately, polling companies. The funding is probably coming from big corporations, big political parties, whatever, and I'm wondering if the contracts, the funding contracts, require the pollsters to ask only about Democrats and Republicans. Have you looked into that?
Oh, I haven't extensively. Our research team is growing drastically, but I'm quite confident that that's the case. I mean, and again, learning so much from Ralph Nader, it's very, very apparent to me that most polls cannot be trusted. I mean, there's money in polling as there is in mainstream media. So I think Zogby poll is probably one of the more honest ones, or I haven't heard anything really bad about them, but I haven't heard any good things about any other pollsters. So yeah, it's
that's the big hint I'm trying to give you, because the first presidential debate, it was, and I've said this on the show a number of times, you know, who are you most likely to vote for? CNN, they popped it up on the screen. Romney, 35%. Obama, 19%. Or was it 18%, 19%? Neither, 47%. Yet they've got it locked in this 15% in five major polls. Is the funding coming through with contracts that say you can only ask people Republican or Democrat? Because that's a huge lead. You can set up contracts this way and bias the whole thing. And I'll send you some more detail on this question on Facebook, but I'm just suspicious that's what's really going on.
I can almost assure you, you're 100% right, because, again, we have all these problems, but let's get to the heart of the problem, whether it's polls, debates, the Patriot Act, NDAA, the Federal Reserve. I mean, it goes on and on. SOPA, drones, war, drug war. Every problem stems from having the wrong people in office, Democrats and Republicans alike. Every problem stems from the two-party system playing us for centuries, and this is just the end of it, and free and equal is here, and will bring the truth to the surface. If politics were a ping-pong game, they'd be the paddles and we'd be the ball, but guess what? That's just no longer the case. We're too smart. The kids are waking up. Social media, if anything, the polls are true about, I think, Zogby, which is one I believe, is that a majority of people are becoming, or a lot of independents, 30, 40, 50, 60%, it keeps rising. People are individuals. I see the movement being individuals running for the 2014 local races. Naturally, many of them will run third party, or even within the Republican-Democrat line, maybe, because it's easier to get on the ballot, because, again, the ballot access is one of the two lifelines of why the two-party system lives today, according to James Bennett of the book Invited to the Party, How the Demo-Publicans Have Rigged the System and Left the Independents Out in the Cold. And naturally, the other one's the Federal Election Campaign Act of 1974. But, it all ties together. So when we replace and create that movement, which we will with Free and Equal, we're going to launch a national database, not only on top of the June 22nd event we're having, again, at the Verizon Arena, holds 17,000 people, in Little Rock, Arkansas, the United We Stand Festival. We're also going to have the Fall University Tour of the 10 stops. Each stop will specialize on a topic, Patriot Act, NDAA, whatever the kids want. We're going to bring music into it, social networking, make it fun and exciting, and that'll push all that information and pooling and building others, like the show today, you know, to be in our website, launching through our national database, which will list every single candidate running for office for the 2014 local races. We will indirectly, directly provide them the resources, whether it's ballot, how to get on the ballot, you know, get into an open debate, you know, organized by trusted free and equal leaders in your local area, you know, giving the level playing field for people like you, myself, your listeners, to run for office in 2014. This is what we have to do to save America. The whole world is watching us, and we have to, you know, be a part of this movement to save not only the U.S., but the world. It's that serious.
Wow, do you sleep much?
I have an amazing team, because I promise you, if they didn't just all, I have for many years, but it just quadrupled. You know, we have dozens and dozens of more volunteers, hundreds that are signing up, and I if I didn't have them, you are who you surround yourself with, and they're positive, proactive. I can't even begin to tell you how amazing the team is, and they're just so supportive, and so they really have taken a lot of stress off my shoulders, because I couldn't do it much longer.
I am hearing your passion, and fighting for liberty can just exhaust oneself. So I'm, you know, again, compliments.
Yeah, well, my friend and executive producer, she knows I get really tired around 3 or 4, and I admit I have to take 20-minute naps every now and then at 31 years of age to make it.
Power naps, oh, yeah.
Yeah, Ralph Nader, you know, does it. So, you know, it's definitely you got to pace yourself, and that's what I do. I've learned to stop doing the 7 a.m. to midnight. You know, I got to last till I'm 80 or 90, so... You know, I try to slip in that 20-minute nap in the afternoon. I'm lucky I can do it.
Yeah, hey, Robert, we got to do another show, and I don't know if Christina can join us, but I've studied this, and this is a chronic problem. It's worse than I ever imagined, but I want to go back to hearing what Christina has to say.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Calicino, for coming in for this and for other shows, and I know you've got to go on your own conference call in about, you know, 10 minutes or so. But if you could call back, that'd be great, because the show will, you know, go on. So we'll may go into extended time as sometimes as we do, as you know, Kelly. But we'll bring the floor back to Christina.
Well, those are great questions. Thank you, Kelly. And I'm so excited to I learned so much from our supporters. I think it's important to always be connected to your supporters and leaders, because so many of our leaders, you know, they become disconnected, you know, from mm-hmm. the grassroots community and so on, and people like yourself. And no matter if and when we may become a household name, free and equal, only because of people like yourself. And it's important to always make time, you know, no matter, you know, where Free and Equal is, and never forget those who've helped build you to get where you are. And, you know, and in return, we, again, just want to help build others. And so I'm pretty, I can stay on your show a little bit longer if you would like. It's no big deal.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I appreciate that. And, you know, I did talk to Virgil Good, I believe it was yesterday, and I know he had a meeting that he was going to, and I also left a message with him on his phone as well about, you know, the times coming in. I know he turns into a pumpkin after 11 p.m. Eastern time. I'm just joking with you, Virgil, if you're going to be listening to this on the archives. But, no, I think it's pretty late at 11 p.m. for him there. So, you know, I told him, you know, that you'd be on mainly from 10 until 10:30. Of course, you're definitely more than welcome to stay, and we'd be very happy for it. So hopefully about a little bit after 10:30 or so, we'll be hearing from Virgil. And then some other folks I talked to today. But one thing we had here is, you know, I was doing a little research here, is that you ran for
he's a sweet guy too, Virgil. Virgil's really cool, you know. I really mm-hmm. enjoyed meeting him and Rocky Anderson and Jill Stein and, of course, Gary Johnson at the presidential debate last year. And honestly, mm-hmm. I felt like the debate that we held wasn't even open enough. There were over 26 or so candidates that ran for president last year and who were on the ballot in at least one state throughout the United States, more than that, you know, not on the ballot. But in any case, we only had, you know, the ability to invite six because, you know, it's a game of politics. I mean, mm-hmm. because if we had opened it up even more, then, one, you know, the candidates that were confirmed would pull out, and it was just like, oh. So in the future, I want to open it to where every single person that's running for president on the ballot, I guess in at least one state, or maybe everyone running, through instant mm-hmm. runoff voting, we let the people decide who's going to be in the first round of debates and so on. And we're at that level, we're getting at that level now where we have enough recognition to be able to do it the way I really want to do it. So, you know, it was more open than our 2008 debate, but I really wanted people like even Roseanne Barr and, you know, others to be there. It's just I couldn't open it up anymore or the debate wouldn't have taken place. So Virgil was really nice. He was the first candidate to take the lead and confirm for that debate when nobody mm-hmm. else had, and that was super big of him, because I couldn't have proceeded without his confirmation. So thank you, Virgil.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, if you can't make it in tonight, which I believe you will, but, you know, I know things happen, then I'll definitely convey that to him. And I tell you what, he's definitely a salt-of-the-earth guy. I remember I got the opportunity to meet him as well. Actually, he was coming back from a little story here, and then we'll move on to the meat and potatoes of, you know, of the show. But, yeah, he was actually coming back from the debate, I believe, from Chicago, and he was driving through Ohio, with his wife and a couple other folks. And he was actually going through Troy, Ohio, and I was talking with him because I wanted to do a personal interview with him. And so I drove up there, and, you know, I said, hey, you know, I might be running a little bit behind schedule. I apologize, you know, if we don't get to meet today. He goes, well, when you get close, he goes, just give me a call, and, you know, we'll wait for you. I was like, wow, I mean, that's a pretty nice guy. He said, I'll, you know, wait a little bit for you, you know, if you're running a little bit behind schedule. And so he did, and we had a nice lunch and got to meet his wife, and it was great. I tell you, a real nice guy. I mean, if you were to sit next to him, you know, it's like, well, this guy's running for president, but, you know, he just saw the earth folk. And then speaking of other, you know, candidates, I know that, you know, when I was vetting third-party candidates here on the show, and we had folks like Tom Hoefling from the America's Party come on a few times, interviewed him, and then we also had Rod Klass from what he called the Republic Forum, bringing politics back to the Republic Forum, and that was Rod Klass. And, of course, we had some folks from the Libertarian Party. We had some folks here for the write-in for Ron Paul. We had Richard Gilbert, you know, on with, you know, about the lawsuit for, you know, with Ron Paul, things of that nature. So, yeah, we definitely kind of ran the gamut, you know, frankly, here, you know, for myself and many of the listeners, is we're tired of the, you know, the duopoly, you know, that pretty much has a stranglehold over the, you know, American politics.
Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, it's enough. We're done with it. And so, again, what sets us a movement apart from the rest is it truly is grassroots. I mean, people have been so, the two-party system, whether it's Occupy Wall Street, you know, Tea Parties, is really have co-opted to a certain extent the movement, but you know, what they've co-opted is not the true grassroots movement. There's more honest people. I say this all the time. There's more honest people in the world than there are not. And, you know, we're waking up, and those great grassroots leaders on the ground in Little Rock, Arkansas. Actually, strategically, we picked that location because last November they had me keynoted in the Federal Reserve Rally last November. It was so successful. All the local TV, newspapers, radio, showed up, covered the event, and it just blew me away with just how nice and wonderful and selfless all these individuals on the ground, you know, from the founder of the ARBUC, Alternative Currency, to Dugan King, David Chido of In the Fed, Arkansas, you know, Greg Deckelman of Occupy Little Rock there. Yes, and just some great, great people. And now the state leader for Gary Johnson, Eileen, I mean, they're all uniting and organizing this and working with our national team. So I thought, wow, it's going to be Little Rock. I mean, I would have never thought a year or two ago it would have been Little Rock for our first event, but it really is. Little Rock, Arkansas takes the national lead, and I'm so happy to be working with such a great group of people. And I'll be traveling out there the week of, I believe, April 15th, or the week after that, I think 15th, holding local press conferences across the state, you know, from county to county, meeting all the local press. It's going to be exciting, and doing other things out there as well. So, really cool.
Well, yeah, it sounds awesome. What I was going to bring up is the point where you ran for California Secretary of State in 2010. Do you still have any political aspirations for public office?
Well, you know, I knew that that my role would be to inspire individuals to run for the local races in 2014. And so I thought, what better way to inspire individuals than by, you know, than to run for statewide office myself at 28 years of age. I'm 31 now. So, you know, I feel like my role right now is really to build others. And, you know, running for, people have said, are you going to run for, you know, for governor or for president? Or, and I just, you know, I my role is to build others, to create that that honest platform of whether there's 6 or 12 or 18, you know, candidates that want to run for president, or hundreds, you know, 16, you know, through what we're free and equal, the people will, you know, have much better choices, you know, to choose from. So it's hard to say, but, you know, I definitely don't see that happening in 2014. So, but, you know, running for statewide office was fun, but I spent most of my efforts during that time trying to defeat what, is the biggest threat to the electoral process, called Prop 2, Proposition 14, back in 2010. I interviewed with Judge Napolitano. Too bad we don't have Fox Freedom Watch anymore, because Fox executive producers, more of them did not want it than those who did. But in
right.
any case, judges, you know, honest media at heart. I can't wait till he breaks away from Fox. But, you know, in any case, he's honest media at heart. And so top two, what it means is only the top two vote getters in the primary are on the ballot for the general election, Robert. And so, you know, it could be only two Democrats, only two Republicans. It passed in California in 2010. What it is Louisiana-style politics. It's basically taking the worst D's and R's. And, you know, like Louisiana, there hasn't been one incumbent, maybe one incumbent, knocked out of office in 30 years. So,
wow.
We didn't defeat it. However, finally, last November we did in Arizona. The money behind it's from Warren Buffett, you know, the richest man, Charles Munger in California, funding that, you know, goes higher up. But not pointing fingers, we're able to defeat it, squash it by a 2-1 margin in Arizona. Why? Because leaders from even the Democratic, Republican, Libertarian, Green, Constitution parties, you name it, we united at the Goldwater Institute, and spread the truth, the national truth. And so I traveled county by county locally. I know most of the press in Arizona, as well as 14 states I've traveled to county by county, meeting press in all of those counties. So it's, going grassroots and on the ground is super key. And it just goes to show you, we didn't need big money to defeat. You know, we were up against millions, and we
mm-hmm.
defeated something. Because the truth, you know, when the truth is out there, money can't put in it. You can't squash the truth. And that's what this movement's about.
And plus social media and, you know, more folks getting their information from the Internet instead of watching, you know, either, you know, one of the regular, you know, cable, you know, news TV shows or the so-called conservative news shows, or what I call Fox News. I wasn't a big fan of Fox News, especially during the elections. I just wasn't too pleased by the way they, you know, by the rant things, especially with pushing Mitt Romney. Oh, I go off on a whole tangent talking about Mitt Romney, so I won't do that. But yeah, I think the new wave for media and for news in the future is the Internet. Unfortunately, of course, now it sounds like I was listening to something in the background. I was on an appointment. Someone's watching some news in the background. They're talking about some kind of bullying or something over the Internet or something with the Internet, where I think they're trying to get folks ready to, you know, now they're trying to do something with the guns, and now it seems like they're going to want to try to regulate the Internet. And I think, you know, it's, of course, about control and what kind of information that the folks are going to get. You know, but, you know, if that does not happen, I really think that the new media is going to be from the Internet and social media.
You are so right. And, shame, you know, on the system. You know, it's the money in politics. Democrats and Republicans alike, you know, I've learned, and speaking with experts, and especially in Arkansas, Dugan King is like this mentor when it comes to the monetary system. But, you know, the D's and R's tied to the central banks, which is tied, you know, all the way to the Federal Reserve, which is a private corporation. And I do foresee alternative currency putting the Federal Reserve out of business. I see creating a true open debate, like what Free and Equal did last year, putting the Commission on Presidential Debates out of business. And, you know, on the topic, it's just every problem, guns, talking to Larry Pratt, I speak with him regularly, the president of Gun Owners of America. What a humble, kind individual, just, you know, wanting to tell and spread the truth. I mean, again, it's the money in politics that creates these things that the people don't want. I think most people don't want gun control. There's a reason why it's been, you know, legalized, or sorry, concealed carry is now in 49 states. Illinois
mm-hmm.
being the last one, that says something, right?
Yes, it does.
Being, and Michael Madigan and the corruption there, and gosh, the electoral system, they made sure they opened it wide open for President Obama. I mean, he had no competition, some really, really, really dirty things out there. I saw there for many years. But so gun control is another issue. And I think on the 10-stop tour, I think that should be, you know, one, as well as internet privacy NDA, SOPA. I don't like the idea that because I'm telling the truth that somebody could show up at my door and, you know, anybody, you know, door and a Bradley Manning could happen. You know, it's just, it's scary. And Bradley Manning, mm-hmm. he should be freed. You know, whoever runs for president in 16, I would recommend that they should pardon, you know, all these people that they can. You know, I mean, drug war, marijuana, position of marijuana. I mean, and learning how the pharmaceutical industry is tied,
oh, yeah.
you know, to what monopolized marijuana and a pill. God, huh. I mean, in 2009, I got to speak with the vice president of Costa Rica, Alfio Piva, for a couple hours.
Wow.
He taught me that, hey, Christina, we are for legalization of marijuana, but our previous president signed it, which is Pivas. I forgot his name. Pivas, my apologies, but the previous Oscar Arias, I believe. Arias? You know, signed
Arias,
a deal with Obama. Yeah, Arias. He signed a deal with President Obama prior to what's the current, or, yeah, President Laura Chinchilla, the first female president elected in Costa Rica. But in any case, before she was elected, Maria signed an agreement with Obama, you know, to allow these submarines, these ships, helicopters, whatever, to come into hundreds of them into Costa Rica, which has been a sovereign nation since the early 60s, to essentially bully them, you know, for being, you know, against marijuana. And so when she got elected, suddenly she's thrown the surprise and she cannot come out publicly against it right away because it would split her party and the liberation. So, you know, here you have a president and vice president that are for legalization of marijuana, but the Obama administration, our government is bullying Costa Rica. I mean, I've been a little busy between 08 and 2012. So
yeah, I think a little bit. No.
You learn so much from foreign leaders, and so, and I look forward to, you know, traveling to every country throughout the world during my lifetime, probably in the next 5-10 years, really, at the rate we're going. So it's just fascinating, and again, marijuana being illegal, I mean, people behind bars for, it's just, and it ties.
Yeah, there's so many other more, you know.
Government pensions. Oh,
mm-hmm.
my gosh, it's just so deep.
But didn't Congress just give themselves raises? You know, they're talking about austerity measures and that they want to give themselves a raise. They want to take, you know, things away from the military. I've got a friend who, you know, they're taking a lot of the benefits away from, you know, veterans in the military, and yet they want to give themselves a raise. But what, speaking of the marijuana issue, I know they're talking about lifting the federal ban on industrialized hemp, which has actually been something I've been very passionate about, considering myself a environmentalist and conservationist. So maybe not to the point
yeah.
of Jill Stein, I must admit, but.
Well,
but,
you know, it's cool. Let's legalize hemp. I recall a really important document called the Constitution, you know, being written on it. A lot of, you know, ships, sailboats. I mean, it's not an uncommon thing. It just, you know, it just became illegal. Oh, gosh, what decade? when paper... Hearst, all of that, I'm learning William Hearst, all that stuff, you know, and it's just, it's politics, politics. So, you know, I wouldn't put it past the fact that, you know, hemp may be, gosh, it could be a great or powerful component in healing, curing people. Who knows? Again, the pharmaceutical industry, they benefit off of people dying, you know, and that's not right. Cancer, I mean, people are being fed these pharmaceuticals when it should be natural medicine, you know,
mm-hmm.
herbs, hemp, whatever it may be. Science has been intentionally held back, suppressed by our government. You know, why? We're in the dark ages of science. I mean, reading books about Nikola, you know, Tesla, that is. I mean, it's just like, why aren't people living even longer? Why isn't there a cure for cancer? There is. There will be. So it's just all tied together. It really is, and all stems from having the wrong people in office, hence the need for we the people to run for 2014 local races.
Yeah, and some are even speculating that, you know, with the cure for cancer is one of the reasons why they're, you know, I'm not saying I've subscribed to it. It very well may or may not be the truth, is that, you know, sort of a population control aspect of that holding back on the technology to, you know, cure cancer.
I would say that in speaking with a lot of well-informed leaders, that is, throughout the nation, it's very consistent that it's very likely that that's the case. And it digs deeper, you know, into world order and United Nations. A lot of people don't go there, but it's a problem. Likely there, or it is there, from what I hear from prominent leaders and honest media and putting it all together. But again, let's just get rid of it. Let's fix it. And so the electoral system's number one, running people across the spectrum, left and right alike, you know, that want to put the Federal Reserve out of business, want to put the Commission of Presidential Debates out of business, you know, down with the Patriot Act, NDA, SOPA, drug war, gun control. Well, you know, it's you know, facts are facts, but you know, so it's just really, it's really the movement's coming. And again, this June 22nd, United We Stand event, Verizon Arena. You can check it out on our website at freeandequal.org. I should have plugged that earlier. freeandequal.org. So check out freeandequal.org, and you can get a lot more detail and really dig deep. You know, about people need to, they can be trusted. I have a Wikipedia page. I just want to make the world a better place. That's my agenda, and I'm sticking to it.
And also for the folks who will be listening to this on the archives, you can go to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, and there will be a button on the Get Involved page, which will take you right to Free and Equal. It's right next to the word links, and then right next there is the button. So it's freeandequal.org. Just click that, and that'll take you to the website.
Oh, that's so sweet of you. Yeah, we're really excited about this. Yeah, we're really excited about this. And I also, you know, while I have you and digging really deep, my father, Jim Tobin, has been running now one of the largest tax fighting organizations in the U.S. for 35 years, Taxpayers United of America. And he actually worked for the Federal Reserve for 9 years and quit, just shy of 1 year of getting his government pension. So I hear my dad, and, you know, he's a libertarian. I'm personally an independent. I've never voted Democrat or Republican, never will. But, you know, in any case, you know, I've learned from my dad that the number one budgetary problem in the United States, and you touched the topic here, I don't usually go into it much in interviews, but is government pensions. And, you know, it's whether it's Congress, I mean, they have double dippers, triple dippers, where people run for office, they get their government pension, and suddenly, I mean, we did reports. I worked with them for a year and a half, traveling across the country, and found out there were single, you know, government employees that had lifetime pension payouts, guess of this, upwards of over $16 million.
Oh, my gosh.
Employee. And so, when you look at why we're in debt, well, yes, war, but, you know, you can't put a price on a life. You can't, you know.
Right.
And no, I would never. I mean, yes, I get goosebumps talking about the thought that people are needlessly dying. And, I mean, it's just being killed or whatnot, not only Americans, but people from all countries. And so it's just, you know, but our biggest budgetary problem is government pensions. And, you know, the reason our government, our economy is heading towards a collapse is because, again, the two-party system, it's not the people who's getting the checks. It's not their fault. It's the system wheeling and dealing with, you know, there are not good unions out there. There are some good ones, but not good unions, and creating an unsustainable system. And so their paychecks have and will stop coming because the money's not there, and it just takes the whole economy down, and people don't know that. So, $16 million, that's, you know, it's got to be reformed. And, well, that's not really going to happen until, again, we replace, you know, the Democrats and Republicans. Those local races, like Dr. Ron Paul said, are key to the local races in 14.
Yeah, they've got to, I hear a lot of people like, just, you know, kick them all out and just, you know, pretty much start all over. And, you know, one thing is, you know, it's definitely, you know, I don't see how, you know, folks can do it, but, you know, we've got to just en masse, you know, get a lot of these folks out. But I think a lot of people out there just feel like they're powerless. They feel like they really can't do anything about it. And so they become disengaged. I mean, look at this past election with, you know, so many, you know, I think 12 million more people sat out this election than they did last year or something of that nature. But I think they feel like they're disempowered. And, you know, that's why, you know, like to have shows like this and have, you know, you on and show that, you know, the people, you know, still do, you know, have the power. They just, of course, have to get action. I mean, look what happened in 2010 with the Tea Party. look at much recognition, and I did get some folks, you know, voted in. Unfortunately, many of those who did get voted in got swallowed up, in my opinion, by the establishment. Now, I used to be a Republican. I mean, I was a Republican since I was 18 years old, and I'm 42 now. So, but this year, after what I've seen what the Republican Party did during the election, to Newt Gingrich, to Ron Paul, and then what happened at the convention, I couldn't, you know, I used to think the Republican Party was the party of principles. I've since changed that opinion, just left the party, consider myself more of an independent. I do lean towards the Constitution Party. I was really pleased with what Virgil Good did put out there for this, you know, for the 2012 election. And then locally, you know, I voted for parties across the spectrum, actually. Even we actually even had a Green Party candidate here, which is rare where I live. So, but they're, you know, they're on the ballots, you know, so that's kind of a little background, you know, for myself.
Yeah, I've found that there are lots of awesome past or even current Republicans at state levels that are totally disconnected, you know, from federal and are coming around, and that's great. But, you know, I really stick with the philosophy and being so heavily involved within national third parties. You know, parties don't work. Parties can't be fixed from within.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen this, as you said, from the Ron Paul, you know, situation with the RNC in Florida. Well, obviously, Rand Paul knows this. I mean, it's ABCs. The Constitution doesn't mention parties, and I've seen from within both the National Libertarian and Green parties in the past decade that as soon as their party becomes larger, it inevitably becomes infiltrated. You know, I saw this
mm-hmm.
firsthand when I was a speaker at the 2010 National Libertarian Party Convention. They were forcing me not to speak if I mentioned free and equal. You know, I just, it was like, this is
wow.
not libertarian. And I had to get a two-thirds majority across the floor from all the people to be able to speak. I said, no, I'm not going to be dishonest and say I won't mention free and equal, then go up there and mention them, because that's not how I am. You know,
right.
And why can't I mention that? I'm going to focus more on my Secretary of State race as a Libertarian and defeating top two, trying to in California Prop 14. But the national chair at that time said, no, you can't mention free and equal, because free and equal acknowledged other parties. You know, it was just a very emotional experience. I'm less emotional since then. I've learned and grown rapidly. But, you know, the national parties then, as they become larger and infiltrated, they become disconnected with the state party. I mean, this last November, for example, you know, the Larry King debate, 20 million viewers, top 10 trending on Twitter. Of course, every state Libertarian Party covered it, but the National Libertarian Party did not say a thing about it. That's
wow.
not good. And so fortunately, I foresee a movement of individuals, independents, individuals running for local office in 2014 and replacing both Democrats, Republicans alike. 2018, I think parties may cease to exist. I mean, you know, we the people, we're going to unite across the spectrum and shift our government back to the origins of the Constitution. And I do see whether they're Jill Stein supporters, Ralph Nader supporters, lots of libertarians, independents, left, right alike. They recognize that there is, a lot of dishonesty with money within our government, and they're okay with government being cut back, whether it's 30, 40, 60%. That's what needs to happen to shift back to the origins of the Constitution. And under a prosperous economy, I mean, healthcare is going to be the least of our issues, you know? So all those divisive issues will just become so minimal.
Yeah, and we mentioned this earlier in the beginning of the show, is divisiveness is purposeful, you know, from the two-party duopoly. You know, I think they try to say that they're each, and I'm talking about Democrats and Republicans, are each different from the other, but they're actually so close together that, you know, at least in my opinion, not just mine, but many, opinion that, you know, in actuality, they're not. I mean, how many things that you know, did Boehner Republicans go ahead and put forward for Obama? You know, they excuse my French, bitch, wine and moon, you know, about what he's trying to do. But then they turn around and go ahead and, you know, vote in Obamacare, you know, vote in, you know, on the NDAA and things of that nature.
Yeah, no, it's a trick. And the people are no longer going to be tricked. And you mentioned before how people have been intentionally numbed, or sometimes I get on interviews. I mean, you know, even talking to Adam Kokesh and, you know, hanging out with him election night and his team, you know, it was like, you know, if you give up, Adam didn't, but maybe somebody within his studio was like, you know, I give up. And I said, well, then why are you here? Why are you here? If you've given up, they win. That's how it works. So giving up's not an option, because by giving up, well, all the things that you mentioned earlier in this interview, maybe being less of us in the future, yeah, I do see that being a problem. I fear for my health and well-being, as well as the loved ones around me and people I don't even know and will know, and the world for that matter. So giving up is not an option. So staying positive and being a part of this peaceful, powerful movement that offers a solution is the way to go. And, you know, even people that are Democrats and Republican lifelong, I think most of them are recognizing that this isn't working, and they only, even their own lives are becoming impacted by being a part of something that may have not been the right movement. But now they're going to, and will see, I foresee, a movement that's a great thing to be a part of. And we're open to everybody that just wants, you know, no violence, just peaceful, positive, powerful. You know, let's fix things. And life is so short. I always like to say life is so short. Why not make the most of it? Why not be healthy, happy? It's so minimal. You know, studying history, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm not even going to have a century here. This is so not irrelevant, but, you know, we're really out of time. And the history, that there's a huge turning point. And I think for the first time historically, when we hit that turning point in a positive direction, technology, social networking is going to help, and I think likely keep us there for the foreseeable future, for long after we're gone.
You know, one of the things I always say is, you know, you never truly fail. If you, you know, the only time you truly fail is when you quit. You know, that's when you, you know, that's when my daughter that to you know to I said, you know, you only truly fail when you quit. If you keep on trying, you know, you learn of new ways to, you know, new approaches on which to, you know, overcome the obstacles, whatever, that are sent at you. But, you know, you only truly, you know, defeat it or fail when you just quit trying.
And hence, not an option. Giving up is not an option, because if we give up, they win. And that's, you know, that's scary. And so we still have a chance to fix it, and we will, because historically that's just what's going to happen. You know, and so, you know, and whether it's Alex Jones, I mean, I see what he does going in a more positive direction. I really do. That's the future. It's a business, too, and it's just positive is the way. It's the future, and you know, all different press entities. And, yes, you have Fox, but you also have great people. You know, Judge Napolitano affiliated with it now, maybe later on he'll be doing his own thing, like Amber Lyon and Ben Swan. Ben Swan soon will be. So, you know, it's just really cool. We're going to see a lot of those leaders that have been really great in the past coming together. And, again, we're that portal to unite all the honest musicians, celebrities, you name it, media, comedians. I think we're going to have an impact on Hollywood, again, celebrities. And I'm ready. I'm lucky to be 31. I'm ready to travel. I have a lot of countries to go visit. I know it. I see it coming.
If you ever go to Ireland, get a, if you could, just get a really big suitcase with holes in it that I can crawl into. And I've never been to Ireland, always wanted to be. One day I will get there. But speaking of the, you know, of what you're talking,
I've been fortunate.
Go ahead. I'm sorry?
I've been fortunate to go there. I went to go see my great grandmother's town where she was born with my sweet aunt. And we got to check out her, you know. Well, and anyway, you're looking at dual citizenship and learning about her little town there. And
yeah.
And I had a cousin who was on the Titanic by the name of the unsinkable Molly Brown. My aunt did some genealogy research and found out, according to her, that we're blood related. I have to look at it myself. But unsinkable Molly Brown, her maiden name's Tobin. Pretty interesting. So I learned a lot about in Ireland in 2 days.
Well, I'll never watch Titanic in the same light again.
Yeah, I know. She, you know, allegedly saved some people on the boats and was real big on equal rights of, like, you know, men to be treated the same as women, you know, getting on off the boat. And I think she ran for office, too, so maybe I have a little bit of...
what's in the blood.
Yeah. Seeing if that's true, we got to check on it. Mm-hmm.
I've got some Irish ancestry myself, and you know I'm kind of a mutt because I've got, you know, German and, you know, and American Indian and stuff like that, or Native, you know, American. So I'm kind of a mutt, but I've always felt drawn more towards my my Irish heritage. But you know, talk about bringing all sorts of people together. I know last, and I believe you interviewed it as well. We had last week on the show, and for those who have not heard the show, listen to it on the archives. We talked to Rosa Kior of about Agenda 21 in Enemies, Maine. So you know, I hope I'm not mispronouncing her last name. It's Rosa Kior or something. I can't. It's K-O-I-R-E.
Corey.
Okay. Yeah, she was on. I'm so terrible that I pronounced her. Sorry, Rosa. Listen to the archive. I mispronounced it in this time. But yeah, she was just on last Wednesday, and we were having a discussion about Agenda 21. And you know, and this is, you know, more of a conservative libertarian show, but you know, she's definitely a, you know, a liberal, and she, you know, but she was willing to come on. You know, there's an issue that, you know, both crosses ideological lines when it comes to, you know, Agenda 21. And so we were able to, you know, discuss that, and you know, even though we're on both sides of the fence, so to speak, ideologically, you know, we were still able to come together, and I think that's what's going to be important for us to be able to do, both conservatives, libertarians, you know, liberals alike, is that in order to fight against what I say is, you know, you have kind of the president becoming the new king. You know, with the politicians being the oligarchy, and where does that leave we the people? Well, it leaves us as their serfs. And it's not to the point where it's the politicians serving the people, but it's becoming more, at least in my opinion, of the people serving the politicians. And in the big,
yeah,
you know, corporate folks as well.
Yeah, you're definitely preaching to the choir here on that one, because Rosa Corey, while, you know, some label Agenda 21 conspiracy theorists, I'll tell you, you know, and communicating with Jesse Ventura's son, and, you know, and people with Alex Jones, and, of course, you know, Ralph Nader, to, you know, prominent, you know, Tom Woods in the past, and emailing with just so many different people. It's very obvious to me that mainstream media has intentionally tagged individuals as conspiracy theorists. They use it as a name to try to scare people away.
Mm-hmm.
Just like they labeled Ralph Nader as a spoiler back in, whatever, 08, well, if you look at the numbers, he really wasn't. Just, again, the mainstream media trying to make things,
mm-hmm,
you know, alienate what we, the people, are, the majority, you know, just honest people, whether it's Jesse, you know, Rosa Corey, or Ralph Nader. I mean, it just, look at the money in media, CBS, NBC, CNN. I mean, gosh, they take money from warmongers, so naturally they don't cover stories that honest media like Amber Lyon wants to cover, and then she, of course, is no longer with CNN because she has integrity, which really most of us do. It's just the most of us that have the integrity, honest people that just want a good life, a good world. We're not the ones in control of our electoral process, but that's soon to change because it's really not that hard to run for local office. I did statewide office. I can do statewide at 28. I definitely urge, and again, people won't be alone. Our national database will provide them the support that they need to know how to run for office and be,
mm-hmm,
able to submit a minute video of who they are and why they're running. And so it's really going to be a great, pure, awesome movement, and I just am really excited to see it grow rapidly. We're going through our next wave, I guess you could say, since Larry King. This one will be even bigger, I think, for June. And I anticipate Jesse Ventura or Alex Jones or Ralph Nader will be confirming soon for it, as well as more bands. And what I love about Golden State Band, our executive producer, Marcy Forgrave, just really built a great relationship with them and their manager, Mike Boggio, is that what sets them apart from the rest is their music has meaning in it. You know that song, Ron Paul Bombs?
Mm-hmm.
It has meaning. Or, I mean, the lyrics are just so powerful. And Jordan Page, we actually bought the rights to the song Pendulum, you know, where the pendulum swings from the left to the right. Well, now it has the slogan, all elections shall be free and equal. It's really, really cool. And so these musicians, I just see them becoming more well-known with this music and really being the kickstart, you know, taking the lead, and inspiring many other musicians to, whether they have music and meaning in their music or lots of musicians that aren't mainstream because they're cut out, because they won't, you know, they won't compromise. Just like Golden State and Jordan Page and so on, you know, to go mainstream, but they won't compromise. And so now they have an outlet to get their music, and that's in our movement.
Yeah, definitely, you know, things such as, you know, music, TV, things of that nature, movies, the celebrities, as you said earlier, they do have a large impact, especially on the youth. And, of course, you know, those will be the ones who will have to carry, you know, the fight forward. I think now is like the ground root, the groundwork's being kind of set, you know, for the future. I talked to Randy Stubblebeam, the National Vice Chairman of the Constitution Party, and, you know, what he's trying to do with their party. And, you know, talk about, you know, how he probably won't see the fruition of his, you know, labors just because, you know, he'll probably be long gone before he gets to the point of doing that. But one thing he talks a lot about is having a multi-party system. And we had a gentleman who's actually, speaking of Ireland, is a expert on Irish politics and multi-party system. And that's where, you know, many folks, and, you know, and I'm kind of leaning this way myself, is thinking that the best way for the United States is either one, if there is going to be party systems, and I think there always will be a party system, just because that's, you know, what the people have been, you know, brought up on for generations. But perhaps a multi-party system can break through where, you know, what Randy says, and I agree, is that the more competition you're going to have, the less shot of having corruption and things happen, what we've seen in this past election.
We have a lot of countries that have multi-party systems, and, well, I'm not really thinking any of those countries are really that amazing, because I really feel as good as and happy and, you know, as great as it can be, it's an improvement, but I don't like to settle. And again, I go back to the origins of the Constitution. I actually really adore Randy Stubblebeam. He's on our advisory board of directors, by the way. So I need to give him a call and get him up to speed. And, you know, of course, he's with the Constitution Party. So I think in time he'll come around. You know, the Constitution, again, doesn't mention parties. Parties mm-hmm. don't work. Even our forefathers, I mean,
that's true.
Like parties at all, though they became a part of it. But I think what the Constitution was missing was technology and social networking. That's the key, you know, mm-hmm. to making and getting the origins of our government back, our government that is back to the origins of the Constitution. So while I think a multi-party system would be better than two parties, sure. But again, I have to go back to, as a party becomes bigger, whether there's 2, 4, 8, 12, as they become bigger, inevitably they become infiltrated. And here at Free and Equal, infiltration is, you know, it's just not good enough. It's not. So, again, it's better, but I don't like to settle. So I'm going to stick with the Article 1, Section 3 of the Constitution, state constitution nationwide. All elections shall be free and equal. So I should probably get going. I have a couple projects I have to knock out here before the day's up. But again, any of your listeners, if you want to check out freeandequal.org, check it out, and ticket sales will start, I think, over the weekend. Over the weekend. And naturally, we are actually going to be launching, and we don't fall short here at Free and Equal, because we have supporters that truly believe. They're the ones that made the Larry King debate happen. We went from a venue of 100, holds 100 people to, I don't know, 5 or 10,000 or so, mm-hmm. and we packed it with thousands of people at the Hilton Chicago in a matter of weeks. Why? Because people went online and they donated to Free and Equal. We were able to raise, and we used 100% of those proceeds for that Larry King debate. And so in order to make, and we will make this event successful, in June 22nd for Verizon Arena, we'll need all the supporters out there, whether they can get $5, $10, $25. Every penny is used so purely and so effectively. And so please go to freeandequal.org. Of course, for $25 or more, we'll send a commemorative DVD of Free and Equal's 2012 presidential debate. I'll even personally sign it. But so it's really, really great, and we wouldn't be here today if it weren't for you and your listeners. So thank you so much for having me on your show, and I look forward to going on your show again and again in the future.
Well, great. I really appreciate it. And thank you definitely very much for coming to the show and spending as much time with us as you have. And I do have a caller on. I see you in the queue. I'll be opening up your mic shortly. So I'm going to open this up real quick and 360.
Sure.
Is this Chris? 360.
Sorry, I didn't want to hold her up. I just wanted to get online before.
Well, there you go. I just see you were
leaving.
In the queue. So. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
great.
She's
got the project to work on.
Yeah,
so
she's on the way out the door. I don't want to hold her up. Well, I just came on because I figured you'd want somebody to chat with afterwards.
Oh, man, I've got go ahead.
Aw, so sweet and thoughtful of you. Well, thank
you
so much, guys.
I would have come on earlier, but I just got back, so I would have loved to have been more involved in the whole conversation. I definitely have thoughts and questions on this whole thing. I was very involved in all of it, but we'll talk again. I don't want to hold you up.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I look forward to it.
Yes, me too. And I was hoping Virgil could have called in, but it looks like he was not able to. He got held up, unfortunately. But I will. He did. I know he definitely was going to call in and tell of his positive experience during the debates. And when I spoke with him a couple days ago, he had nothing but good things to say about it, how fairly he was treated and how nicely he was treated as well. But yeah, definitely thank you once again for coming in, Christina. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It'd be great to have you back again.
Yeah, I would love it. And feel free to reach out to our director of communications, JL Ahram, and he can give you the contact information for Rocky Anderson, Jill Stein, and Gary Johnson as well. And maybe you can get them on your show.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, I'll definitely
send
him an email, and I've got his number as well. So, yeah, I'll definitely contact him.
Great. Well, great. And you can let them know I directed, Free and Equal directed you, their way. And I think you'll snag a few for your show, if not all. So good luck.
Awesome. Well, great. Thank you very much,
right.
And good luck to you. Take care.
Have a great night. Thanks, guys. Thanks, gentlemen.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Have a good night. Okay, great. Well, folks, that was Christina Tobin, founder and chair of freeandequal.org. And you could either just type that in, or you could easily just go there by going to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website at www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com. And go to the Get Involved page, and right by the word links, you will see a red button that says freeandequal.org on there. Just click that, and that will send you to the website. And so right now, Chris, we have you on the line, but I also have someone else I'm going to let in, 410. Your mic is live. Thank you for coming to the show.
Hey, this is Ezra.
Oh, Ezra, great. I'm glad you're able to call in. I was speaking with Chuck Suter about you coming in and talking about Liberty or Spread Liberty News.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're independent, alternative, media, and we've been up for about a year now, since May, and we've made great strides. And today we've been pushing the money bomb. We've extended it just for the sake of people who are like, I can't do it today. I'm waiting on, whatever. And can you pull it through Friday? And sure, but we're just having a money bomb today and throughout the rest of, I guess, this week, just based off us trying to bring in funds, which we're being put towards. We're trying to build a smartphone app. We have, just a bunch of other big projects we want to get done, and so we've been reaching out to anybody who's understanding of what we're doing. It's definitely a project, but we're hoping to keep it going in the right direction.
Well, definitely. And I'm gonna you can also, on the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, go to the give page, and you will see another red button, but a larger button called Spread Liberty News Money Bomb. Just click that button there, and that will take you to the donate page to the Money Bomb.
Awesome,
for
awesome,
Spread
awesome.
Liberty News.
Yeah, thank you so much. We've just been, there's a couple of us we've been full-time writing and whatnot. We're just really trying to make it up to the next level in terms of, readership and stuff like that, legitimacy and stuff like that.
Well, awesome. We also have another gentleman on the line. It's Chris. He's the purveyor of the Coalition of Freedom Facebook page and also the Blog Talk radio show of the same name, Coalition of Freedom. Chris is on the line. I'd like to open the floor. Go ahead, Chris.
I'm stuffing my face.
He's stuffing his face. Okay.
What a man.
Organic nature of Blog Talk Radio.
Well, like I said, I just got home. I'll have to go back and listen to the Free and Equal gal, see what went on there. Did you ever get an answer why they did a game show thing and had a vote-off down to from 4 to 2 people instead of having, you know, 2 different debates with everybody?
Yeah,
did you ever ask that question?
I didn't ask the question directly, but I believe I do have an answer for that. I believe
really?
That the format that they had was the format that was agreed upon by the people who participated. And she did not give any specifics, but it sounded like to me that there may have been a few of the candidates who requested it to be that way for their presence to be during the debate. I mean, that's something we can talk about her directly, get an answer directly from her.
That's kind of an oxymoron.
That's
kind of an oxymoron. I mean, the whole concept of free and equal is the fact that these people have been, you know, cut out of the process. And so the idea, regardless of, you know, and I hope it wasn't Gary Johnson because he was one of the noisiest guys over this whole situation, and he had a lawsuit going because he couldn't get into the debates. It just seemed to be – it was just the weirdest thing for me, okay? But, you know, I'm just kind of a simple guy, you know, Northwest and half my life in Alaska, so stuff's got to make sense to me. But if you say that our purpose is to bring these third-party candidates, you know, to the public, then why would you create a game show environment where people vote people off the stage so you only have 2 people debating at the end and something as important as this? I'm sorry, but – I still haven't figured that one out, and I haven't got a straight answer out of anybody.
Well, and perhaps, you know, I could send a message with her with the question, and we could discuss it, and then we can, you know, maybe bring a more elaborate.
Yeah, well, whatever people are going to. Sure, people are going to tell you what the reason is, but I'm saying it's wrong, and I would bet that there are 1,000 people who would agree with me immediately. I wanted to hear those people debate. I wanted to see this mixture of people. I didn't want to do a game show, American Idol vote off. That was just bizarre to me. I mean, we're messing around with trying to elect a president of the United States. Keep it pure, if that's what you claim you're going to be. Keep it pure and have a couple good debates with all people involved. I mean, the first debate was mostly about, you know, drugs. I mean, come on. They asked 6 questions. It takes more than 6 questions for people to figure out who they would want to vote for to be the president of the country. So you have more than one debate. I mean, you know, the Republicans had probably more than they needed, and half the debates were worthless. Those were, you know, leftist news trying to make them look stupid. But, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you and I did multiple interviews, and we asked more questions in a 2-hour show than I've seen with all the debates put together, because we wanted answers. Our listeners wanted answers. The people like us who were frustrated with the Republican process of nominating an illegal candidate, you know, through coercion and rule breaking and law breaking, you know, we wanted a fair and equal debate, not a game show. And I just think that that's important. And I'm not saying I dislike them for that, but I think people need to hear it. Because somebody sat around in an environment and made a decision to do this, and it's just bizarre to me. You know, maybe I'm crazy, but that's not what I wanted to be involved in. I wanted to hear these 4 people go at it a couple times and get real answers. Go ahead.
Well, and two things. As I said, yeah, once we can, explore that more, and she did say, you know, she would be, you know, open to coming on to the show, so perhaps we can definitely have, you know, perhaps definitely that's a –
Sure.
But we can, you know, have those discussions. But I did talk with I kind of mentioned it with the personal conversation I had with Virgil Good, and you know, my take from that conversation was that he felt like he was treated fairly. You know, he had nothing to, you know, as I said earlier on the show tonight.
He's a Virginian. He's a polite guy.
Of course,
he's going to say that.
he's definitely salt of the earth. But Ezra, you know, if you'd like to chime in, did you get an opportunity to see those debates?
I didn't put all my energy into it. I think I saw one of them. I understand what you're saying with allowing everybody to, you know, have their take on all the different questions, all the different debate. I don't really have a disagreement on that. But I only saw, you know, I think it was just one of the, I don't know how many they even did, I guess one of however many.
Two.
But how many were there?
Two.
Well, plus, remember, I mean, all the, I've got an inkling that, and I'm pretty sure, actually, that I think, you know, funding may have been a reason why we didn't see as many debates as, you know, I'm sure I would have liked to see more. But I'm wondering if the funding was, you know, was an issue with that. And I've kind of got an inkling that very well may have been the case.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm not talking about how many they had. I'm talking about the format. Now, Nader's debate was incredible because they sat at a table and they talked. You know, the problem was they had bad technology and we lost half of it. But they sat down and really went into all the issues, you know, and really dug into them. And people had a chance to really express themselves. And I think that is what people are looking for. I know I am, because as soon as I hear an audio clip or an interview or some news clip of somebody asking some, you know, some candidate or asking Rand Paul on his position on immigration, and you get a 5-minute, you know, response, the first thing we do, especially this technology generation, is we go, okay, we got a clip, now let's go get the answers, because that's what we are. We're diggers. I mean, this gentleman that's on right now is building a news network, I assume.
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to inform people, you want to educate people, you want to give people
right.
more depth than they're getting from mainstream media. Am I right when I say that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's one of our whole purposes. And I specifically, you know, target more world affairs and stuff like that. And it's definitely, once you start understanding more of, like, the internal conflicts with what's going on in other countries, it's kind of like, what the hell are we doing? Why are we even wasting money and wasting time and lives? This isn't even worth, you know, like, there's no nation built. This is not, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just like, why would you want to waste money on something that people don't want your money here? That's what it really boils down to.
Yeah, did you ever see that Rand Paul's kind of a short one-hour filibuster he did in the Senate where he listed off all of the monies that we've shipped to dictators that we propped up that turned around and became our enemies, and now we're doing this and now we're doing that. We're buying Rolls Royces for people, and we wonder why people have an Arab Spring when we send billions of dollars and a handful of people at the top live like kings and then use our money and our weapons that we give them or hand them to oppress their people. You wonder why people hate America. I mean, that filibuster should have gone viral because it was the truth. You know, whether you agree with, you know, the Paul foreign policy, and of course Rand and his dad are a little bit different. You know, Rand is a little bit, I think, a little more of a realist that, yeah, we do have real enemies and there are things we need to do in the world. But I just watched that clip and I'm just standing here going, you know, every day they're telling me what they can't afford to do in this country for me, my, you know, I have full care handicapped son, our elderly, Social Security, Medicaid, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we have a Senate. I watched the clip the other day where Rand was kicking the crap out of him because they're trying to vote, you know, that we actually advertise our food stamp program in foreign countries.
Yeah,
come
we
to
do.
America and get on freaking four and get on food stamps.
Oh my gosh,
and
that's crazy.
Oh yeah, and you look at this stuff. I look at the situations. You know, I live in the state of Washington. Of course, it's a blue state. Didn't used to be. You know, Oregon, Washington, Alaska used to be the, you know, the last frontiers, and the Californians came up here and took over. Thank God we had some preemptive laws set in place. Otherwise, this would be the second California right now. But we had a lot of preemptive laws set in place that protected the people from the Congress. And otherwise, we'd be screwed, you know, in the great Northwest. But, you know, I just heard on the radio today that you know, I mean, I listened to the Democrats going, oh, you know, when what's-her-name was in power, the governor, they went through all this crap and all this contortions, you know, after the crash, and they went through all this budget cuts and all this, you know, social services and all this kind of crap. And, okay, we fixed it all. Don't you love us now? Well, I just heard on the radio we're $1.5 billion in the hole already. You know, you just go, who in the hell is telling the truth about anything?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And we're supposed to vote, excuse my French, Robert, we're supposed to vote these bastards back in office, and they're supposed to fix things. These people are insane.
Oh, no.
And it's evil.
No, and I agree, and that's something we talked about tonight, Chris, and I'll bring a little bit, you know, with what we talked about tonight. You know, I know you hear it in the archives, but, you know, just vote all these, you know, as you call them bastards out, and I don't mind them being called that, because most of them, you know, most of them are. But, you know, one thing that, you know, we'd like to see is, you know, the grassroots folks of the different parties. Now, one of the problems, and of course, this country's hooked on the two-party system of voting more about parties than they are about, you know, the persons being running for the election. You know, but that's, you know, that's the, at least what it sounds like her, you know, her mode is getting the people out. And she talked a lot about, we've talked about this too, Chris, on some of the shows, is about the local politics, voting more, you know, getting really involved in the local politics.
Yeah, I agree.
And we're also talking about, you know, with the Constitution Party when we've had them on. And we probably had the folks from the Constitution Party on more. And that's probably, you know, at least for me, one of the reasons why is I hear more to their, you know, stance than probably any other party at this point. So
I agree with the local idea. It's definitely... it's more transparent, less expensive, and, I mean, you know, you still have the power over if you're going to, I mean, with the whole, you know, example of the marijuana thing, it's kind of, it'll be interesting to see how it boils down with the feds and the state, but, you know, the states are supposed to have obviously more power over the feds, and so, I mean, I think people should start taking advantage of the local level. I know what we're doing with SLN, we're actually... we've worked with probably representatives and senators in 20 different states, and they're, for the most part, I'm not going to say they're all Ron Paul types, but for the most part, they're all pretty liberty-minded, and a couple of them are even pretty young, freshmen and stuff, and they've been getting the job done with anti-NDAA and stuff like that, and, I mean, it's making a difference, and unfortunately, we're not really seeing that on the federal level, and it, I mean, it's definitely... cheaper and, like I said, more transparent to get elected on the local level. So, you know, there's a bonus to that, too.
Well, and we have to. I mean, when you look at the 94 Republican Revolution that Newt Gingrich, you know, spent 15 years of his life building, that started at the local level. You know, he created educational programs back in those days, of course, you know, it was audio cassette tapes and things like that. That they would send out to young Republicans, and they built local leadership. They built the party from the grassroots up. You know, now this is an old guy that you young people are going to look at and go, he's some old, you know, 70-year-old neocon, but he was a revolutionary in his time. And,
right,
and
yeah.
You know, this none of this stuff is new. You know, it's
but,
just today. You know, every young generation gets up and thinks we got it all figured out, you know, different than the last generation. Well, my generation was the same, and I'm sure my parents' generation was the same before that. But you know, there ain't nothing new under the sun. People are people, and when you look back at the Reagan Revolution and the battles that occurred, you know, after Nixon, the Republican Party was down to 18%. You know, it was a revolution that built that party back up. When Reagan got elected, he had a massive. New voters, Democrats that came over, you know, it took the right message. It took people. And that doesn't happen at the top of the ticket. You know, the top of the ticket can make or break a party. But the bottom of the ticket, you know, the local is what builds a party.
Right, yeah, I mean, what's that?
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to make a comment. We see what Mitt Romney did to the Republican Party. Go ahead.
Oh, he crippled it.
Butchered it. I was just going to say that it's definitely important to keep just like a decentralized movement. Aside from the whole campaign season and stuff like that, I think it's vital that you don't let too many, organizations with, you know, the main figureheads or whatever you want to call it, have influence over the things that go on. I think that the organizations that come up should be, you know, literally your friends and the people beside you and the people beside them, because, I mean, that's what will keep things, in my opinion, keep things just running in the right direction with just transparency overall. I mean, I'm not going to pull names or anything, but just with the whole Ron Paul campaign and some of the things that went on with that, and that's just, I mean, the whole Liberty movement is really young, and it's already becoming kind of a factor where there's some weird money games going on and stuff like that. So I just think
that's human nature.
Right.
I built organizations my whole life, both nonprofit and business organizations. And if you study any great leadership or organizational, speaker, teacher, trainer, they'll always tell you it's the same with churches. You know, a church will grow. There'll be somebody who'll split off from a church, you know, get tired of the old people and the stagnant nature of a church. And people will break off and they'll start a new church and it'll be 10, 15 people. Then it's 100, then it's 200, and then it's 500. Then they start making rules and shit and they start putting all these people in charge. And then everybody wants to control everybody. That is the nature of man. From organic to secular in the blink of an eye. And you have to build systems into that to prevent it. And unfortunately, we want leaders. We want a Ron Paul. We want Rand Paul. We want, you know, somebody in Newt Gingrich in his era or Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. And then we zero in on that leadership. And then that becomes a trend, and then people fall in lockstep with that. The dynamics, you know, the dynamics of continual organizational change, you go back to Jefferson. He said, hell, we probably need a revolution every 20 years just to keep it pure. Not that I'm promoting that, but he understood the nature of mankind.
Well, revolution can come in many forms. They don't necessarily all have to be violent.
I'm not promoting that, trust me. I better make sure I cover my ass on that one.
I totally agree.
Cool. Now, how did you guys form? Did you come out of the Ron Paul organization?
With Spread Liberty News?
Yeah.
I was inspired by some of the stuff, Ron Paul and everybody was talking about, and that was what laid me out to what I want to do. And I kind of saw the need for, you know, just the overall, we don't have any concentrated viewership, everybody. You know, we have, it's all different states, different countries, stuff like that, that people read what we have. And I thought it was important that those who are elected on the state level, I'm going to name Nick Schlatter of Montana. He's a young guy, and he's been doing awesome stuff for Montana. But we just wanted to, one of the goals at least we wanted to do was build our contacts with Liberty reps and all that kind of stuff, and allow them a media outlet and stuff like that to, you know, talk about the legislation and put it out to the public in more of a media format so people can step aside from news that isn't talking about stuff like that, and at the same time learn about all the lawmakers and stuff, make it more, because I mean, there's definitely throughout the social media world and stuff, there's definitely more just the people who want more truth, and there's the people who want to be more involved with politics. And so we're just hoping that, well, we're not hoping, but what we want to do is at least work some more people into just politics overall and like the local level, and how there are people out there that are doing the thing, and we're going to report on it for them. And you're going to, I mean, you can, you know, we've reported on the same people constantly and over, so it'll become more of a, like, you can know who that person is more and what they're doing for liberty and stuff like that. I mean, we have a bias. I'm not going to say that we're just some, like, pure, I don't even like the word journalism, but we definitely, we got a bias for freedom.
Right? No, well, that's cool. Did you guys... Go ahead. Sorry, Robert.
That's okay. I just say there's nothing wrong with that to be a bias for, you know, for freedom and liberty.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't, I just feel like everybody has an opinion, and every news organization, you know, the mainstream, the smaller, you know, Huffington Post, like all the different everybody's got, you know, the opinions and stuff like that. And so it's just like, why hide it? Like, just let it out. It's worse to, like, almost be deceptive about it, but try to relay messages than just to, like, let people know what you're all about. And if you want to learn from our, well, it's because we're not too extreme on the positions of liberty and stuff like that. But I mean, when it comes down to your right to defend yourself and stuff like that, I mean, we'll obviously inquire that those things are important, but, you know, we don't have the alarmist element or anything. It's just the idea that, you know, we're going to say what we got to say, but we're not off brand with it or anything.
Right. I was almost going to say, when you said that, the alarmist, I was going to say the conspiracy theory drivers.
Right. You know? Yeah. I mean, we don't.
I mean, my God, I go to multiple different, you know, people put you on Facebook groups all day long. You turn around, you realize I'm on 10 more, and you'll read some of this. You read some of this crap, and you're like, you know, yeah, it's probably true, but what the frick? Are you going to just stand around in fear? How do you even make it out of your house? You know, can you even hold a job? I mean, the world's always been a mess. There's always been people trying to control other people. There's always some conspiracy and people who, you know, with power trying to figure out how to control the rest of the world. And so the hell what? I mean, you know, give me a solution, you know?
Right.
I mean,
that's,
I swear to God, these people, I mean, I can't handle it. I can understand it, but I don't live my life by it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of what we've shifted away from.
But we do have to, you know, I'm going to chime in here, but we do have to, in my opinion, be thankful for those folks who do live it. I mean, because they have dedicated, their time, their treasure, you know, to some, you know, their life. And I'm not being literally their lives is, and, you know, dying over it. I mean, maybe some have, but, you know, I mean, you have to have some folks who are, I mean, they're in it. That's what they do. That's their life. And I think we, you know, be thankful for them. Because there's no way all of us could do it, but someone's going to have to.
But I don't, I'm not talking about necessarily the people who do it professionally. I mean, I watch Beck, I watch Alex Jones, that's cool, you know. It's the people who repeat it, they repeat it. I'm talking about the average person on groups that all day long all they do is post the scare of the day, you know, and trying to scare the shit the hell out of everybody else all day long. You know, it's not productive.
Why would I used to blame, I haven't watched him for a while, so maybe it's different, but for a while it seemed like that's all Glenn Beck was all gloom and doom so he can sell seeds and backpacks.
He does good programs. I think Alex gets a little bit more radical than Beck does. But I mean, that's fine. I mean, like I said, I can listen to a show, I can do the research on it, I can put, you know, A plus B equals C, and that's really cool, but for me, it's a matter of an intellectual process. You know, there's some people that's all they do is live that crap. You know, I'm a Christian, so we got all kinds of weird conspiracy theories. The rest of you people think we're nuts, and yet I don't live my life in fear. You know, Satan, the devil, angels, demons, the end of the world. Yeah, I've lived that. We've lived that forever. So what? You know what I mean? It's like, I don't live in fear.
Well, now, and real quick, it is the bottom of the hour, so of course I do want to, and if it's in the archives, it'd be different, but go ahead and also put a reminder out there for folks to go to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, www.bardslogicpoliticaltalk.com, and then go to the Give page, and then you will find there the button that says Spread Liberty News Money Bomb. Just click that, and you will be able to take you to the link to donate. And also, underneath that, there is constitutionalwar.org to their donation spot. Go there as well. So check that out. I was talking to Chuck Suter. I believe you're familiar
with
Chuck Ezra. And what he's working on. And then, you know, I think that, you know, such as yourself, and I would like to hear more about Spread Liberty News and what you guys have planned for the future. But I think when you take, you know, shows like, you know, here on Blog Talk Radio with Bard's Logic and then Tex and Rex, which can be heard on Sunday evenings from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, and then your show, Chris, Coalition of Freedom, as well as your Facebook page, you know, Spread the Liberty News, and, of course, Free and Equal, who we heard from Christina Tobin tonight. I think, you know, all of us working together, you know, really can, you know, make a difference with bringing up the grassroots to, you know, fight it, you know, against the elites trying to, of course, you know, take control, as we talked about earlier, about the American people becoming the new serfs, serving the politicians instead of the politicians doing what they're supposed to do, and that is to serve the people.
Right, right. Yeah, that's awesome. I'm excited to keep plugging along. I don't know if you could shoot me, I guess just go through Facebook or something, but shoot me an email so I can connect with you on there as well.
Yeah, sure. And the way we could do this is there is a contact page on the show's website. Just go to the contact page. You can fill that out and send send me a message from there, and then I'll use the email address that you send me the information at to keep in touch, and we'll keep contact that way. And then once I have your email address through the contact page, we'll go from there.
That's perfect. All righty. Sounds good.
So what's your guys' goal?
What do you want to accomplish out there, Chris?
Well, sorry, I'm focused on 2014 right now because we've got a midterm election coming up, and as much as I love all these third parties, if we let Democrats take over, you know, the Senate, we're going to be a part of the UN. So, you know, you and I have dug in deep into the third parties, Robert, but right now, you know, we've got 99.99% of everything that we have to battle with in coming into 2014 is going to be those two evil main parties. Well, I'd rather have the Republican Party in control than the Democrat, even though I can't stand most of them. There's a few good guys in there, Rand Paul and Cruz and Lee and
Massey.
You know, and Amash and, you know, a bunch of great guys. And I'm going to bust my ass to make sure these guys win. I'm going to expose all the Bush era rhinos. They need to go. They should be in the Democrat Party anyway, you know. And I see Rand Paul just kicking ass and taking names. You know, everybody was impressed by his filibuster, but this guy's been quietly working like that for two, you know, since he got elected. And by God, I'm proud of what he's doing, and I'm, you know, stand with Rand. And everybody's going, you know, worrying about 2016. I'm thinking, you know, if we don't keep the House and gain some better control in the Senate, you know, 2016 is going to be a whole different looking country if we're not got our shit crap together here, you know?
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, of course, I'm more in you know, this, Chris, and more about the conservatism than I am about party. Just right now, you know, as parties go, a lot of the third parties in green grassroots is, you know, my focus. If you could get something from, you know, some folks, the conservative folks in the Republican Party, you mentioned Rand Paul, and of course there's Newt Gingrich, you know, of course, you know, I stand behind them as long as, you know, they don't get sucked up by the establishment.
Right.
You know, so.
And I think, I also, because I've been concentrated a lot more on foreign policy, so that makes it, you know, a little bit more tougher to accept Rand. I think I've accepted Rand, and I understand his need to, you know, bring in kind of the AIPAC influence and stuff like that. I mean, you can't look at what Chuck Hagel did when he had to get nominated. I mean, that guy is not anything close to a non-interventionist. They were treating him like he was going to bring all the troops home or something. And so I definitely...
I know people couldn't understand that, and I'm going like, well, Hagel was just a piece of the pie, you know what I mean?
Right. He made interventionists look good, but that doesn't mean, like, I still think he's a... But what I was going to say is just that one thing important to remember about Rand is the fact that he has gotten other people elected around him, like Thomas Massey and stuff. And, I mean, that's definitely a sign that, you know, even though he is kind of making moves through the political process, he's still getting backs of people that are probably going to be even more pure than he is, just because I think he wants to be the one to go through those steps. I mean, we'll need everybody within the... Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. I just had a flash in my mind. One of the things I've been tracking everything that he's doing, and not because I've got some hero worship for Rand, but he's stepping out on everything. He's stepping out on budget, on immigration, on wasted spending, foreign policy. I mean, he, you know, he took that trip to Israel. He's willing to get out in front on stuff, and you know he's going to get the crap kicked out of him by both the left and the right. You know they're going to want to. The right is going to want to demonize him. Oh, he's Ron Paul's son. You know, he's Mr. Intervention, Mr. Non-interventionist son. And then
they
the left
is going to
want to.
On CNN.
Oh yeah, I mean they tried to say that he wants to, you know, make all the illegals, you know, give him a, you know, a citizenship. It's just bullcrap because I've listened to the guy's plan, and he just put out a budget and he's fighting, and I'm thinking, you know, I mean, if he runs in 2016, cool. You know, if he doesn't, you know, right now he's created the movement. He stepped out, put himself on the chopping block. You know, he put himself in the crosshairs of everybody, and I'm like going, don't people understand that this is a Sarah Palin move? You know, this is a movement, and if everybody would get off the politics, get behind him, you know, especially all those young guns and all the Tea Party people that had the crap kicked out of them, you know, and got squashed by the establishment and Boehner and the rest of those gentlemen. That wasn't the word that was going through my mind. You know, that there's a movement can rise up around him. Yeah, but there's a movement can rise up around him that can empower this country. Look how excited people got over a filibuster that wasn't really about drones. It was about civil liberties. And
yeah, exactly.
You look at that, and everybody got excited. He had, you know, he was the number one Twitter thing going on around the world. And then everybody gets down, and they go, well, that was cool. Then they start picking him apart. And I'm like going, you missed the point. You know,
right,
he may
sacrifice
his political future for his country right now. And maybe that'll give him the presidency. I don't know. You know, I can't predict. I'm pretty good at this stuff, but I'm not going to say I predict that. But that is powerful, and you have to understand those kind of unique situations, because momentum is an organizational thing. Sometimes it happens naturally. You know, it's a natural phenomenon. And more times than not, people squash opportunities for momentum because it scares them. And then there's And then there's people who are good at creating momentum, who have done it enough times and know how to move people. That's a Newt Gingrich. He understands how to create it. So if Ron, you know, like I said, Rand Paul may sacrifice his political future, and he may end up being president. I don't know, but right now he's the movement. So if people would work with him and get behind him, we actually might win back the Senate. That might
be really
cool because they got new. They got, and you do international stuff. They got a new UN treaty coming down the pack on weapons that makes the small arms treaty look like patty cake. I don't know if you've got into that yet. It's scary.
I don't know when that came out. I did know that after Obama got elected. I don't know if it's the same one after
it's
Obama.
It's a new
got
one.
Elected.
No, it's a new one they're working
doing.
On. This one even got more teeth. Right.
Yeah, I mean, we've been off. We took off last Friday throughout this week just because we've been really trying to push to, you know, get the money bomb going and stuff like that. It's definitely work.
Sure.
You know, asking people for money isn't a walk in the park. And it's
an economy.
Unfortunately, a lot of the things we want to do is just like, oh my gosh, you're kidding. It's that much. we've just taken this week off, and we're just, you know, trying to get some, well, get the enough amount. It's always a numbers game with the designers and stuff, but I think today we did get there, which is awesome, and we should be starting back up on Monday or so I'll look into that. But
check out this new UN, this new arms treaty. It's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
The UN, they are working on setting up a system where the UN controls, not just, you know, they're not just going after small arms. They're talking about the whole balance of power of all ammunitions, tanks, everything. I mean, we're talking about, you know, and people get all freaked out about world order. Well, this is it. And
there
it's in this treaty. And Obama's already said he'll sign it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Obama's tight.
He thinks he's the president of the world.
We can't lose. We cannot lose the Senate.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree with that. And it'll definitely be important in 2014, for sure.
Oh, my God. It's going to be huge.
My concern with that is, and I agree in part with you, Chris, about, you know, losing, you know, the Democrats taking over the Senate as well as
you know, well, they already have the Senate, but it's them taking over the House. You know, I
well,
mean,
but
the Senate, Democrats already
yeah,
have the Senate.
Yeah, but it takes a supermajority to get a treaty
right.
signed.
Right, I mean, you're
concerned
of a supermajority in the Senate, but...
You're dang right.
I understand. My question is, you know, if the House of Representatives is any indication, I mean, look at what the Republicans have given in to the Democrats. I mean, so it makes me wonder sometimes, you know, what difference will it make? I mean, the Republicans have given up, or at least the ones who are really in power, the way I see it, have pretty much given in to Obama. So what's to say that even, you know, then anything would be that much different? I mean, you think
well,
if the Republicans...
I can show you the last 2 years of people in the House and the Senate. If it wasn't for them, more would have been done. So do we just give up?
No,
I mean,
no, of course
I mean,
we're talking about that. You never, you know, you don't give up. No, I'm not saying that
well,
at all.
Yeah, I mean, we need to get more constitutional people elected, and
right.
we need to get some people in the Senate that are in there that are rhino traitors, whatever you want to call them, out of
not
there. And there's 33 Senate seats up for election, and you know, starts next year. So, you know. My goal is to find the best guys I can and make sure that everybody knows who they are and fight for them.
I'd like to see. I think it'd be a big signal or a message to get Lindsey Graham in his seat.
Started on.
Well, you know, I heard that I can't remember his name. Lee, I think his last name is Lee in South Carolina. He's a local guy. I think he's on the state level right now, but he was in a local paper a few months ago, I think in January, and he was talking about running against Lindsey Graham, and he's another Liberty Movement type, and that would be pretty exciting to see. That'd definitely be a
message. Well, he needs some serious money to take on Lindsey Graham, and it's a serious organization. It's the same with McCain or Boehner. I mean, Boehner ran on a he had one some Tea Party guy, you know, that ran on a, you know, he was more of a pro-life Christian than he was a Tea Party person to me. But, you know, he had no chance in Hades to replace Boehner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would have been a gift from God to see Boehner get replaced.
We've got a little bit of echo with you, Chris, but I haven't had the opportunity to draw anything from a chat most of the evening, but I will do this. We've got one of our frequent guests are here to the show. Bring audience. Yeah, someone did. Does someone have a? Like,
I have no.
On,
I have
or?
Nothing. No, I don't.
What was that?
Yeah, I'm hearing an
somebody's
echo.
Got echo.
Do you have like a speaker, computer speakers on or anything, Ezra?
Oh yeah. I think I might. I don't know.
Yeah, that might
working.
Be why we're getting the echo here. Yeah, but anyway, so one of our frequent listeners here, Tessa, she's asking Chris if you're going to have perhaps a couple of shows on the new treaty. If you're considering doing any shows on it.
Yeah, I guess I could do some research on it and throw a show up on it. I've been kind of negligent on my shows because I've been working on other projects and absolutely overwhelmed, which I'm sure people can relate to that, and now that we've gotten, you know, when I watched Rand's filibuster and then CPAC, I realized that, you know, the line was drawn, and now the message is clear, because, I mean, you can get caught up in so much blessed news and crisis that you get to the point where you almost can't, you know, you can't have a show. You have to, like, say, okay, I'm going to just talk about one thing. Yeah, I guess I could do some digging on that, and with people's help. You know, get the information on it. I did post some information, and I posted the two bills, and that's as far as I got today. You know, that those bills are actually introduced. You know, these are the kind of things that nobody hears about that are vital to the future of your country. You know, hell of a lot more important than Obama's golf game. You know. Or the fact that he looks like Satan in the Bible movie, you know, whatever. I mean, come on, people, you know, or the actor that did Satan in the Bible movie, you know, that went around.
I haven't heard anything about that, I must be honest. I haven't heard anything of that.
The guy that played, well, and the thing is everybody, you know, spins it around it, and then I'm like going, they're stealing your freedom. Can we focus? But, you know, people are people. God.
Well, I see here, gentlemen, we only have about 10 minutes of live version of the show. Now, of course, I know you do, Chris, and most of the audience here does, that we do go into extended period, which is not live, but it is still recorded and will find itself in the archives. So what I like to do is put out to any of the listeners, if you'd like to listen in to the extended version, if we do go in there, which I could find likely, even if it's just for a little bit, you can call in at 347-945-7428. And if you'd like to chime in, just push the 1 on your number dial and let me know you'd like to speak. Or if you're calling in from Skype, just send me a message if you're on Facebook or if you're in the chat here on Blog Talk Radio. Just go ahead and do that. And also here, all I was going to go to is, once again, of course, go to the Barthological Blog Talk website, go to the Give page, and for the Money Bomb tonight, for the Spread Liberty News Money Bomb, just click the big red button you'll see there, and that'll take you to the web page where you can donate. So with that being said, we'll open the floor back up to you, Cesar.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
No, you're good.
No, you're
good.
As I said, it's you know, we still got 10 minutes of live time, and then what does it doesn't shut off and get recorded time.
I could have sworn you said peace.
No. It's an open the floor.
So do you interview people and candidates from the other parties and stuff? Have you done stuff like that?
I've done it with a couple. I have a few candidates who are actually waiting for me to get some of their stuff. So I've just been so busy. We came up with the idea with the whole state lawmaker thing, you know, just figuring out who the press people are and getting in touch. And then, I mean, I've just gone as far as to building friendships with the people who are, you know, representatives and stuff, just because I think it's even more important. And I think it's a lot more, you know, fun and stuff like that, just to be able to know these people instead of calling them and hassling them every time they have a piece of legislation. But the whole state politics thing, definitely for about a month ago, for 2 weeks, we started like really getting into it. And so we have a bunch of different states now, I think over 20, with lawmakers involved. And so I've kind of moved away, which I am going to go back, and I'll definitely take the time to have anybody who wants to, you know, have interview and stuff like that, because it's super important. There's a guy, I can't remember, he's in Illinois. I know his last name is Williams. I'm so my dead brain right now, but he's one of the people I'm working with for an interview, and I think he's running for Congress. But yeah, we're definitely.
Hey, hold on. I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but I got to, Robert. You're breathing in your mic really loud.
Really? I didn't know I was breathing.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm working
to
out.
You.
I'm working out over here while I'm multitasking. I'm working out while I'm doing the show.
Heavy breathing going on in Robert's show here. Mm-hmm.
Well, my wife is. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just. She's
kidding. Yeah, I mean, we're just, but you know, just working with the state. It's definitely a pain in the rear to work with anybody involved with the federal level. I mean, just calling, you can't. One, you're never going to get in touch with any of the politicians
right. You're
trying to call. And two,
exactly.
you cannot say, if you ever want questions for, and I do not care at all, because these people work for us and we are not their servants. So I don't, you can write me all you want, but if you ever call in there and you are doing something that is being put into the media in any form, never say that, because then they're not going to answer your question. So I call in, I'm like, yeah, I'm interested. It was for, one of them was for the Dianne Feinstein gun legislation that came up after Sandy Hook, and I just called in there and had a good discussion with them and recorded the whole thing.
speaking of interviews, I know I'm having a show this Friday night with some folks from the Constitution Party here in Ohio, and they're going to be talking about a lot of things they're doing for growing the party here. I know we talked about 2014 and getting ready to get constitutional-minded folks to run for office there. So we'll be talking about that on Friday night. And also we're having a show planned for next Wednesday where we're going to have some folks coming in and talking about an organization that helps send gifts to the military. So.
Cool, cool. That's awesome. If you, if there's anybody who ever comes on and whatnot, and elected or, whatever, we even do stories for, small business and stuff like that. We actually helped out a New York, they did organic products. I didn't do the story. I think it was, just shampoo, like the whole bathroom organic products. Because, there are a lot of people now that are into the whole...
I would be one of those.
Yeah. More power to you, but, there's definitely a lot of people that are into the organic thing. And so we helped out a small business and got them some, viewership and stuff like that. But if you ever have anybody, be more than happy. That's what we're all about. We just want to get people, news that people want to hear. There's so many, everybody's striving on Facebook and all the social media outlets to, see the things that they want to see. But there's some, like RT and stuff like that, and they're owned by the Russian government. So it's just kind of like, there's nobody that's like, there's people. I don't want to call nobody because then I'm taking away the people that are doing something. I just may not know. But there's not many out there that just want to produce everything that people want to read, and that's important. And so that's what we just want to do.
Well, awesome. Yeah, it's definitely, a lot about networking. And speaking of that, I do want to get the name of the organization that I'll be interviewing some folks with next week on Wednesday, the 27th, and that is Operation Thank You. And so
it'll
be great to have those folks on.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's pretty cool. Did you say for the military donations?
Yeah, there are folks that are like, one of the things that we did a little bit is recently with my daughter, she's in the Girl Scouts, and they donated, people could order to donate like Girl Scout cookies to the organization. And what they do is they, spread those out and give them to, veterans and people in the military.
That's awesome.
I'm surprised the liberals haven't shut down these kids' organizations selling, something as poisonous as cookies to people.
You gotta protect us from ourselves at some point. You can't let us get too creative.
I'm surprised Bloomberg hasn't brought his billions in and shut that down.
And the crazy thing is that how much attention we're not spending to people that have been in unneeded just wars that are disgusting and brutal, and they're coming home. I don't have the statistics near me. It's on my computer, but I don't want to mix up anything. I'm just going to go off my head. It was something like 2009 and 2011 or something. There was more military money spent on psychotropic drugs, like they spent more on meds than they did, I think it was AC-130s, just three other hugely expensive military vehicles combined. And it's just like, wow. If that's
you want to get me pissed off, let's start talking about PTSD and the drugs these guys have given these and the suicides oh, my God, don't give me drugs.
Real quick, gentlemen, I do see there are some folks who have called in.
Mary,
on the switchboard
Mary just
here.
Wants to listen.
Oh, okay. Well, there's some other folks on as well. So if you'd like to chime in, just push the one on your number dial, and I'll let you in. If you just called to listen as well, that's fine, too. Thank you for calling in. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, you want to look at our whole medical. We got this Obamacare. We got this crisis in obesity. We got all these things going on in the country. Everybody freaking out about a cost and expense. Number one drug in the country is antidepressants. Number one.
Yeah, exactly.
you want to get into those numbers, get into the numbers of kids that are on that crap. You know, we are. We have become a. The modern psychology has replaced God. It's really that simple.
Right.
You know, and they get into. I was in the drug rehab industry in the 80s. I used to do work in a inpatient program and do aftercare programs and, you know, those kind of things and did classes and stuff like that. And you know, I came from the old school of what I used to call get your head out of your butt and fix your life programs. And I watched the modern psychology come into the drug rehab industry, and next thing you know, they label everything as a disease, and they got a drug for every frickin' disease. Now, and I watch this PTSD stuff, you'd think our young people never fought in a war before. You'd think that people never saw death and dismemberment before. All of a sudden, we got a new psychological disease for something that's been going on since mankind has been on the face of the earth. My son came back from his second tour, and they wanted to tell him he was crazy and he had PTSD and blah, 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 and they wanted him on all these freaking drugs. And I'm like, yeah, you just got out of a year and a half of war. What the hell do you think? You're going to be stressed. You know, I mean, come on, people. You know, and now they got murder cases, and this woman who, self-defense, stabbed her husband 30 times, cut his head off and shot him. Well, they didn't cut his head totally off. And they're trying to pull the PTSD thing. And I'm like going, this is never going to end.
Well,
this is never going to. Yeah, what's her name?
Well, there's a blonde. She turned herself Burnett, and now she. I don't know.
Well,
my
but, you know, it's just, a whole. It's a whole. Our whole society. Our whole medical society is a chemistry factory. You know, we don't do preventative, you know, medicine. We don't take care of our health. We're like, what, number 26 in the world, you know, on the
That's
health.
Terrible.
I mean, the greatest country in the history of the world, you know, with incredible science and breakthrough in medicine and inventions, and our people are falling apart. You know, that song, you know, I want a new drug. Remember Huey Lewis in the news?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like to post that on my group every once in a while just to laugh, but it's about that bad.
That's something she was talking about when she was on tonight, you know, about the pharmaceutical companies.
I mean, I was,
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying I've had my own experience with you know, ADD, ADHD medicine, and I'll tell you what, that stuff is nothing to be played around with. I dropped, I think in a month or month and a half, I dropped 20 pounds, and I was.